It is now time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And so there's that school bell, and you'll want to get your Bible. And this time you want to turn to the book of Mark. There's a passage in Mark chapter 14, verses 50 through 52 that I want us to read, and we'll read that in just a moment. Did you know there is in the New Testament the story of the naked man? Now, I'm not talking about Adam in the Old Testament. I know when he was created, he was naked and was not ashamed until he sinned. But there is in the New Testament this strange little story of only about three verses, the story of the naked man. And it's found only in the book of Mark. Let me read that to you. Mark chapter 14, 50 and 52. It says, "And they all left him and fled. And a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body. And they lay hold on him, but he left the linen cloth and fled naked." Well, what are we talking about? And why is this little story here? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. You may want to turn to Mark 14 and then be ready to turn to Mark 16, and we'll read from there as well. And while you're looking at that in your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Old Ben Loman, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible studies at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. We have been assembling there as the Church of Christ for over 100 years. Now, I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in this radio Bible school, we've been studying about the great men and women of the Bible, and we've come to the study of Mark, and we're bringing that study to a close, and we'll do so. But in studying Mark, we have not yet studied these three verses. They're found in the book of Mark, Mark 14, 50 and 52. And this occasion of what we're reading here is that Jesus had been arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane, and they are carrying him to Jerusalem. And along the way, we read these strange words. It talks about his disciples, where it says in Mark 14, 50, that they'd all left him and fled. Now, that's the disciples of Christ, those apostles whom he had carried with him to the Garden of Gethsemane. They fled. But then it says in verse Mark 14:51, a certain young man followed with him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body. And they lay hold on him, but he left the linen cloth and fled naked. Now, why is that told? And who is this certain young man? Well, when you read this, you really know as much about it as anyone. That's what the Bible says about it. But here is the idea that kind of helps explain this, and this makes a lot of sense, that they're carrying Jesus from Gethsemane into Jerusalem for that trial, and it must have been a commotion, for the Bible says that it was a mob. And there was a young man somewhere along the way in his house that heard all the commotion, and he rushes out to see what is taking place. He had been sleeping with this linen cloth cast about him, sort of like the covers that he had on him, or maybe like a bathrobe, you might think. But I think of it like a blanket he had wrapped around him, and he just gathered those bedclothes about him and went out to see what was going on. And this mob, seeing this vulnerable young man, someone in that mob tried to grab at him. It says they laid hold on him. And so they're grabbing that cloth, and evidently they must have associated this young man somehow with Jesus, and perhaps thought they would drag him into Jerusalem with the rest of them. Well, that's when he left that blanket about him, or that robe, or whatever that linen cloth was, left that and ran away out into the darkness. and he fled away naked. Now, who was the young man? Well, as we've said, they must have associated him somehow with Jesus, and the name is not given. And the account of this is not found, not in Matthew, not in Luke, and not in John, only in Mark. And why would Mark include this? And it is thought that it is very likely that this young man was none other than the young man John Mark himself. Early on, he had known something of Jesus. It tells us that the things he writes in the book of Mark, while he may not have been an eyewitness to all of those events, he could have been an eyewitness to some of them. And so that is included in his documentation of Jesus, and only in his alone. Now, as we're looking at this, I want to read again from the book of Mark, and this time read the very last of the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16. Now, we're going to be reading verse all the way through for verse 20 and make a little comment along the way, but I want you to notice how it is that Mark wrote. And so I think it's a good tribute to Mark to read the last things that he wrote to us as we complete this study about him. Now, here's the reading, and I'm going to be reading from the American Standard Version. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week they come to the tomb when the sun was risen. And they were saying among themselves, "Who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back, for it was exceeding great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe. And they were amazed. And they said unto him, or he said unto them, "Be not amazed. Ye seek Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, I want to read the last part of this chapter as well. You know, there's some dispute among those that studied the ancient documents and texts as to whether Mark 16, 9 through 20 ought to belong in the book of Mark. But it does belong there. And it is enough evidence there for even those doubters who wonder whether it should be there included in their translations of the Bible. And I want to read it to you here, and there's much we can learn about this in these last few verses. Beginning in Mark chapter 16 and verse 9, Mark continues, "Now when he was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told them that had been with him, and they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, disbelieved. And after these things he was manifested in another form to 2 of them as they walked on their way into the country. And they went away and told it unto the rest. Neither believed they them. And afterward he was manifested unto the 11 themselves as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven, and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word by the signs that followed. Amen. You see, Mark witnessed how the apostles had fulfilled this great commission. He saw them preach the gospel to the whole creation. He was with Paul. He was with Barnabas. He was with Peter. He was with Timothy. And he heard them preach, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark also saw the signs that accompanied them that believe. He saw them cast out demons, and speak in new tongues, and take up serpents, and drink deadly things without harm. And he saw them lay their hands on the sick, and how they recovered. Mark, seeing these things, it was fitting them, at the end of his book, that he would tell of these things as he documented this story about Jesus. And so with that, we're bringing this study of John Mark to a close. And I return to my little Sunday school book called Elam's Notes. And I turn the page to the next lesson. And as I do so, I see that here we have a Sunday school lesson written for the Sunday of September the 16th, 1923. And the man we're going to study at this time is Luke, the beloved physician. Let me read to you now the text for this Sunday school lesson. We begin in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where Luke writes, "Forasmuch as many has taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou hast been instructed." And then we turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, where Luke writes, "The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began to do and to teach." And then Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15, where Luke writes, "And a vision appeared unto Paul in the night, and there was a man of Macedonia standing beseeching him and saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision straightway, we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Setting sail therefore from Troas, we made a straight course to Samothrace, and the day following to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is a city of Macedonia, the first of the district, a Roman colony. And we were in this city tarrying certain days. And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down, and spake unto the women that were come together. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to those things which were spoken by Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Now let's look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. That's where Paul writes, "Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas salute you." And then finally, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11, where Paul writes another time, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is useful to me for the ministering." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Proverbs 17:17. "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity."